From the 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studio, here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
Good to have you back here on a Monday afternoon as we get going here for a busy week on Sports Talk. Along with Adrian Broaddus, Alberto Urueta, Steve Kaplowitz with you, hanging with you for 3 hours today. That's right. We're taking you all the way up till 7 o'clock with a lot to talk about on the program. In fact, we've got UTEP Track and Field coming by our 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studios. They'll be saying hello in our 5 o'clock hour. And on a day when, let's be honest, the NFL season is long gone, but the talk is all about the celebrity roast of Tom Brady last night. My goodness gracious. It was wild. You know, maybe this will start a new trend. Sports roasts. We've had celebrity roasts for years. Milton Berle made a name for himself. We've seen, you know, the Comedy Central Network has been doing roasts for a long time. Maybe last night on Netflix, the first ever sports roast, which was the Tom Brady roast, Adrian, will now lead us into a new era of roasts that will involve well-known sports celebrities who, like Tom Brady, will go out there and just let everybody tee off on them.
Yeah, as we know now, sports figures have turned into celebrities, so this fits the mold right here. Tom Brady, one of the most iconic, if not the most iconic football players you're ever going to find. Kevin Hart's part was hilarious. Bill Belichick was funny. Didn't care for Dana White, although you don't really care for Dana White in most cases. But nonetheless, very controversial, very all over the place.
Yeah, it was. Was there one? Did you watch it live, or did you see the highlights on Twitter and X?
Saw all the highlights and social media.
Okay. Because there was one that went out of bounds. Did you see that? This was kind of interesting because I believe it was Jeffrey Ross who was doing the roasting, and he took aim at team owner Robert Kraft and the massage, and actually Brady went up and whispered something that was very audible. Basically saying, don't ever do that bleep again. And that was it. And I thought Ross handled it like a pro, but you could tell that that was the one subject that bothered Brady. The divorce didn't bother him. Calling him gay didn't bother him. All the stuff they all teed off on him and talking about was fine. But, man, you bring up Bob Kraft and massages, talking about the scandal years ago when rumor had it he was over at Orchids of Asia on his way over to the championship game and was involved in that whole scandal. And, you know, that was out of bounds last night for Tom Brady. The last subject I expected to be out of bounds, but that's the way it was.
Was there an Aaron Hernandez joke yesterday?
Multiple.
Yeah, that's what I thought. There were a lot of Aaron Hernandez references.
Hanging Hernandez. They talk about him hanging himself, and everybody brought that up. Apparently, that was okay. So you could bring up a former teammate who we all know what happened to Aaron Hernandez, and yeah, that was part of the joke. Deflategate was part of the joke. All the other stuff that went on, but stay away from owner Bob Kraft and the massage parlor incident.
How about the Bill Belichick jab at the dynasty? So he kind of jabs at Robert Kraft too, because he was saying something like, you know, the 10-part. It's not to be confused with the Bill Belichick 10-part episode on Apple TV Plus, knocking the Dynasty documentary that came out about the Patriots, which felt really like it attacked Bill Belichick in a lot of different ways. You also had Julian Edelman, who talked a little bit about Alex Guerrero. That didn't cross the line, even though Alex Guerrero is Brady's guy.
Yep.
And you don't mess with Alex Guerrero if you're Tom Brady or if you're around Brady's circle, that's for sure.
Here's my question, okay? And this is the interesting thing. After last night, who would you like to see next get roasted on Netflix? Because I feel like Netflix is on to something here. This celebrity roast of Tom Brady could become a thing. I'm not saying we're going to get a new one every month, but we could have a couple of these a year. So now that, you know, Brady's been the first, who would you like to see roasted next? I mean, you've got Jordan. That would make sense. There's some – I mean, there's definitely I listen, all I can tell you is just because of what he's turned into, I think if anybody ever roasted Lenny Dykstra, it'd be one of the funniest things of all time. But just because of, unfortunately, what Lenny's turned into. Lenny was a former baseball player, AJ. He played for the Mets in 86, then played for the Phillies. They won a title when they were the Wild Boys in the early 90s. Lenny's a bit of a mess. So if they were able to get some of his teammates down talking about him, it would be pretty wild. But, you know, you think about the legends. How great would it be if we had a celebrity roast of Jerry Jones?
See, it's got to be somebody who could take it.
You don't think Jones could take it?
I don't think he could take it. I think that's the part of it, too. Like, yeah. Credit to Brady, right? Because he's just taking it. He's laughing with everybody. Brady's a very personable guy, so he's liked by a lot of these people, too.
Do you think Jordan could take it?
I don't think he could take it. Yeah. I don't think LeBron could take it.
Could Magic take it?
No. He had a lot of bad, bad stints in the end, man. The Lakers finish with Magic. That was tough.
See, that's the toughest part is to try to think. Could LeBron take it?
No, I just said LeBron couldn't take it. I just mentioned it. Yeah. He couldn't take it for sure. No way. Because he's got his kids. I think he'd find that very sensitive if anybody went that route.
Were you surprised that Brady took it as well as he did?
Yes, I was surprised. I mean, yeah, for him to have this kind of sense of humor, for everything, you know, everything to kind of be off the table. I think you have to get the right. See, like, if they went Shaq, I think Shaq could take it. That could be perfect. He would be
good
hilarious.
Point.
You could also get Charles Barkley in that same discussion.
Barkley would be fun. I think Barkley would be hilarious with it. That's, you know what? Shaq, of course, you went right to the two guys that are on the NBA on TNT, and you're like, yep, that would work.
I'll go with the future guy who's going to join that desk in Draymond Green. I think he would take it real well, too.
He'd probably be a pretty good roaster at this point.
He would be. He would be good to have on the mic as well to give it back to people.
Yeah, that's a good point. That you know what? I hadn't thought about that part of it. It's like, who could take the roast well?
Because then it gets awkward, right? Real awkward sometimes.
Yeah. Like, there are certain people. I mean, do you think Alex Rodriguez could do a good job?
Oh,
or do you think
no.
He would just, or do you think it would be a total disaster?
Somebody would bring up the fact that the sell still hasn't happened between the Timberwolves, and I think he would just ask to get out of the arena or the place.
This is a good one. This comes from Lewis, who texts into the show. He says Peyton Manning could take it.
Yes, he could. Peyton Manning is the next one, I think. He should be on that list. Like, I don't think Tiger could take it, man. Not yet. I think you need some time to be removed for everybody to kind of, you know, be a little bit away from the sport. I don't think Floyd Mayweather would take this well whatsoever. So you couldn't, like, if you wanted to go to the combat sports world or something like that, it'd be tough. Could The Rock or could John Cena take it?
I think The Rock could. I do. And Cena, too. I think a lot of those guys have the personality to take it. Yeah, that would be kind of interesting. It really would.
They've got the popularity to have the backing and to have the hype and excitement.
Yeah, that's a good point. Talking about professional wrestling and those two names and how they've crossed over. But you're right. You know, the best, I think some of those good ones that have been brought up are probably pretty, pretty spot on as far as personalities go. And would Jimmy Johnson be a fun one to roast?
I think he'd be a hilarious one to roast, yes. You think he would take
better it? Better than Jerry Jones.
No, I think Jerry'd be hilarious, right?
Well, but, he'd be number one. Yeah, but I think Jimmy could take it better than Jerry,
yes.
Is what you're saying.
Yes, I think so. I think Jerry would have to handpick who would go up there, and they wouldn't do a great job. Like, he's having his son, he's having Mike McCarthy, and you're like, well, what about some of the other people who should be involved in
this?
Yeah,
that's true. Kim Kardashian got involved last night and got booed off the stage practically. I felt bad for her. Kevin Hart had to try to save her, which he did.
Alberto was just saying that Kim Kardashian was one of the standouts.
Yeah, and Bill Belichick was terrific. Belichick delivered perhaps some of the best straight guy humor you're going to get. I thought Belichick in the last 2 weeks with his NFL draft coverage with Pat McAfee and then the roast last night has shown more personality in these two things than in the last 25 years. Nobody even realized Belichick had it in him until now.
whoever's running the PR team with Belichick is doing a great job, because he is secretly and not so secretly writing a book behind the scenes.
Yep.
So once that drops, I think everybody will read it just because of all the excitement he's providing in these media interviews and stuff like that.
No, that's true. That is definitely true. And a lot of listen, a lot of people talk about Nikki Glaser and what she was able to do with her version of this. She got it started, and yes, a lot of people talking about Nikki being one of the stars of this roast.
You know, it's just it's cool that Netflix is jumping really into sports. I was just thinking about this weekend, Steve. They've got Tyson and Jake Paul right around the corner. They had this one, the roast. They're committing to perfect, full swing, and the F1 show as well. It's so interesting that they get all these different personalities and they're really diving into sports. I'm wondering if they're ever going to go into like the streaming side of sports as well, like for live sports.
Well, first off, they're bringing WWE Raw soon enough when that contract ends in later this year with USA Network. And that's going to be really interesting to see when WWE Monday Night Raw goes to Netflix, what's going to happen.
Yeah, you think about how many people have just subscribed to Peacock just because of the WWE. Maybe they'll just switch over to Netflix, those who don't currently have that subscription.
It's possible. It is definitely, definitely possible. So anyway, yes, the roast of Tom Brady, without a doubt, one of the big topics of discussion. Finding out this afternoon that UTEP will need a new top assistant basketball coach with Jeremy Cox going to Oklahoma State is a big one locally. Think about this. Jeremy Cox has been with Joe Golding since he arrived in El Paso. In fact, almost the entire staff has been together since Joe Golding first arrived here in El Paso. The only change was promoting Spriggs to assistant coach this past season. Other than that, they've all been intact. And it is going to be very interesting to see what happens now that UTEP has one of their assistant coaching spots available. Where does Joe Golding go to try and find his new top assistant? Because, that was Jeremy Cox. He specialized in coaching bigs. He specialized in recruiting JUCOs. And he really specialized in the X's and O's. He was kind of the bench guy. He was the X's and O's guy for Joe Golding these last 3 years. Now, all of a sudden, that's a big vacancy to fill.
Yeah, I mean, number one, you're going to credit a lot of the developments of the bigs to Jeremy Cox. He did a lot for them in the front court over the past couple years. And if those listeners who say, well, what have the bigs done this past year? The bigs didn't do. Look, who they had to work with. Look at the players that they had to work with. And look at the how they kind of molded them. There was a point this season where we were asking about guys like Derek Hamilton. The coaching staff simply said he wasn't coming along. And then by the end of the season, he was a heavy contributor in that CUSA title run. I think you have to credit a lot of those things to guys like Coach Jeremy Cox and what he's able to do. He's a defensive specialist. Somebody asked me today, well, why Oklahoma State? I mean, come on, do you really need to ask that question? It's a Big 12, great opportunity. I think that Jeremy Cox, with all the experience he's put together, 3 decades plus of coaching, there might be, him wanting to continue to do more, and maybe find other opportunities. And if you're at a Big 12 school like this with Steve Lutz, who went to the NCAA tournament twice with Texas A&M Corpus Christi and then went to the NCAA tournament with Western Kentucky in year one, this guy's skyrocketing up there right now.
Well, remember this too, okay? Steve Lutz coached for Jeremy Cox at the JUCO level before he got his shot as a head coach. So what this is just Cox getting an opportunity to, I don't want to say get paid back, but you know what? When Lutz was young and he worked under Jeremy Cox and realizes what kind of a coach he is, and now he gets to get his first opportunity to coach at a high major university, hey, that's one way to return the favor and say, I know what you can do as a JUCO coach. I know what you can do as an assistant coach. Come join my staff now at Oklahoma State. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and their paths have crossed a lot, too. I mean, you're talking about Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, and Stephen F. Austin, where Jeremy Cox was there not too long ago, so they would see each other a lot. It would be regional kind of thing right there. So those two were probably going after the same guys. That's what I'm saying. And in terms of recruiting, so they probably have a lot of the recruitment philosophies that they want to carry over to Oklahoma State. Imagine if the Cowboys are kind of the hub for like top junior college transfers or guys with junior college roots.
That's true. Hey, Good show for you today. We're going to do a little UTEP track coming up at 5:30. In fact, we've got Coach Mallard coming on along with Marissa Simpson and Jordani Woodley. It's going to be fun. We got a good group, two athletes and a coach with us here for our 5:30 segment. Don't forget, we've got UTEP hosting track and field this upcoming week. So excited about that. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they're hosting the CUSA Championships. That's going to be terrific. And we have UTEP Track in the house today. They'll also be coming on Wednesday's show as well. So we got a lot in store for you. A lot more to talk about today. Adrian, thank you very much. Let's send it off right now to the phones. 505-6009. Here he is, Eddie in Fort Bliss. Eddie, what's going on? How are you?
All right, Steve. So I got two roasts. One of them, a guy who was a good player in his time, but was probably one of the funniest people, and that's John Crook. I would love to see a roast of John Crook.
Yeah, that would be fun. He's got the personality, and that would be a lot of fun. I agree with that.
The second one, you have a lot of funny stories about this guy, but I don't know if he would take it, and that would be Ricky Henderson. The Ricky Henderson stories that are out there are always legendary. Like the one when he forgot or when he didn't sign a bonus check and the Athletics were looking for it at the end of the year for like $1 million.
Yep.
Or the other one, the one I heard John Olerud talk when they were together in, I think it was, they were together in Toronto. And then 5-6 years later, they're both together in New York. And Ricky Henderson comes up to him and says, why are you always wearing a batting helmet? And John Crook says, you know, I had this brain tumor when I was a kid, so they told me to wear this batting helmet. And then he says, I was with somebody in Toronto that was like that 5 years ago.
Well, I'll tell you what, if we ever ended up having a roast of Ricky Henderson, that would be pretty entertaining with his personality. I agree. Do you think at his age we could ever get Pete Rose to do a roast?
Ooh. That would be good.
The roast of Pete Rose.
Roast on him?
Say that again?
They did a roast on him like 15 years ago, I think.
Did they really?
It was on Comedy Central.
Really?
It was on Comedy Central. Right around the same time they did the roast with Charlie Sheen.
Ah. All right, I got to try to find the old Pete Rose roast. I never got to see that one on Comedy Central. Most of the time they would edit it and cut it up. So if I could ever find an unedited version of that would be pretty entertaining.
And with Peyton Manning, yes, Cassidy. I'm sorry. I think Penny could do it. If you ever watch him, he did the roast. He did somebody's roast 3 or 4 years ago. I think it was Rob Lowe, where he was one of the promoters on it. And he actually did a really good job with that, too.
Well, I'll tell you this much. If we ever got we will definitely look into the possibilities. And I'm sure they're on to something now. You almost feel like, yes, there has got to be something happening in terms of more future sports celebrity roasts as a result of what happened last night. Hey, do me a favor. Say hi to Cassidy for me, and we'll talk to you soon, Eddie, all right?
All right, brother. Thanks.
All right. Appreciate the call. Thank you, Cassidy. Cassidy wants to get on the program, too. She had a lot to say, just like her dad.
That's right. Yeah, and I'm with you on that. There needs to be more roasts across sports. Cassie was ready to give her two cents on which other celebrity, sports celebrity, should be roasted.
Yeah, that's true. I never saw a Pete Rose roast, but if that was the case, especially if it was on Comedy Central, that would be fun.
I've never seen it on Comedy Central, Steve. The only one that I know definitely happened, it was a couple of years ago, and it was a big deal at the Hard Rock Casino. It was like a huge deal for the roast of Pete Rose. I don't even know if this was televised, but I knew that when this happened, they had big names a part of it, and they had ticket sales go crazy for this one right here.
So you're saying that Pete Rose has been roasted? We know that for a
yes,
fact.
Yes, 100%.
Okay. I just don't think it was ever televised.
I don't think so either. I think they may have took clips from it, but I don't think necessarily it was all, you know, televised.
That's too bad, because that really would be that would be fun anyway. And knowing Pete, having a roast in Vegas, sounds exactly like what you would expect from him.
Yeah, no cameras, too, where other people could talk about it after the fact. Yeah, sounds on par.
Yeah, it sure does. All right, 505-6009, our telephone number, 505-6009, as we continue here on Sports Talk. Did you watch the Derby on Saturday?
I did not watch the Derby. I read a lot about it. You know, I know that a lot of people here in El Paso were a little bummed with the New Mexico rules. I know, obviously, they were either making trips out to Reynosa or wherever it was, you know, even in our backyard over here. Yeah, I get it. I get the conflicts. I get the issues and all that. And it was just, you know, it's tough for fans here locally who want and, you know, rely on those places to place bets or watch the Derby in itself. But heard it was good. Did you watch it?
I did. I did. And I saw the, you know, I saw the result. Mystic Dan. I mean, it was so close. Not just two horses, three horses this time around. You had Sierra Leone and Forever Young. So you had three horses in that photo. And I mean, it was awesome. I was just hoping for Stronghold. That was the horse I wanted to see break through and win. He finished seventh. And, you know, that was one of those sentimental things because you're like, wow, we'd love to see the Sunland Derby winner break through and win the Kentucky Derby. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. But it was entertaining. The paddock looks amazing. And add the Kentucky Derby to my bucket list of sporting events I would like to eventually go see live before I'm gone. I will definitely put the Derby in that list.
All the pageantry, everything that goes on, the history behind it, 150th. I mean, yeah, why wouldn't you want to go? It's like Augusta, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of the most iconic sports weekends that you're going to talk about, Derby weekend. Yeah, and as far as the Sunland Derby winner, I mean, what a, you know, it was so interesting. That horse was trending upward, and it started to get some pretty good odds day of the race, Steve. So, yeah, I think it was 20-1 when it was all said and done.
I thought it was 35-1 was what I
think.
I heard.
I think the odds
went down.
Yeah, I think the odds went down. Man.
Really?
Yes, yes. From what we saw, because we talked about it on Friday, and we were looking at the odds on the sports books, and it was 20-1 at that time.
Wow, that would be terrific. So when I was watching the TV cast, that's when it was. It was at 35 on Saturday, but I didn't.
So it flipped a little.
I think it did because I think what ended up happening, we saw more action on some of the other horses. Everybody, there was a couple of them that, you know. I forget the favorite, but I do know that the horse that was the betting favorite finished, I think, 17th, which was crazy because
Wow. That
was the horse that everybody was picking to win. And the horse finished Fierceness. 15 out of 20 was what Fierceness finished. So,
and a lot of people lost money then.
Yeah, I would say that is the case. So, yeah, it was a good, I mean, you know, Stronghold, nothing wrong. 7 out of 20 is fine, but, you know, you look at that finish and you see how close it was down to the wire. It was awesome. I mean, really, that's what the racing should be like. And by the way, I guess it didn't matter that you couldn't bet the race in New Mexico because a record $210.7 million was bet on this year's Derby.
So instead of making the trip out to New Mexico, people just rerouted their trip to other places. So,
yeah.
Or just you know, found a way to bet on the horses in general. So that's how it was done.
That's right. 39 past as we continue here on Sports Talk. 505-6009, that is our telephone number. If you want to get into the show, we'd love to hear from you since we're with you till 7 o'clock today. We got a lot more to talk about, so stay with us. Sports Talk continues, 600 ESPN El Paso.
Now, in the El Paso Metro place, the rough spot right now is on the east side. First of all, Zaragoza and Azuque, we have a crash. That one just happened on the east side, Zaragoza and Azuque. So caution there. On the west side, we have a wreck at Hermoso del Sol and Cabana del Sol. So caution in that area. Also, we have a stall car, I-10 East at Sunland Park. It's on the shoulder. Going to be some shoulder activity there, I-10 East at Sunland Park. Possible crash, but they're looking for this one. I-10 East at about East Lake, the sheriffs and PD. Looking for that wreck, not confirmed yet, but caution for emergency units working in that area. Leo's Restaurant, 7520 Rimcon, approaching 7-8 years in business. Got the famous tortilla soup. Don't forget the delicious papillas. And celebrate that special mom at Leo's this Sunday. Leo's Restaurant, 7520 Rimcon, Charlie 1-600, ESPN El Paso.
From the 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studio, here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
Start of hour number two. Welcome back, everybody, here on the show. Sports Talk continues. We've got a busy hour. UTEP Track will be in the house. I've got also Knicks and Pacers starting up here in about a half an hour with game one of their series. Excited about that. Just got done watching the Rangers yesterday beat Washington. I'm sorry, not Washington. I said Washington. Columbus. They just beat Washington. They beat it was the Carolina Hurricane. I'm sorry. I'm all off. This is what happens when you're staring at Ernie Johnson's bow tie. You get mesmerized and you get lost in your conversation. That's what's happening right now. A little too much Ernie Johnson for me, but I am excited about Rangers and Carolina since they're up 1-0. And man, the Garden's going to be rocking these next few days.
I thought you were going to say you were lost in that Game 7 Golden Knights Stars matchup.
Great.
And man, I can't tell you how many great wars, not series, not matchups, wars we've had between those two teams, Vegas Golden Knights and the Dallas Stars. It feels like Vegas always gets the best out of the Stars, yet this time around it was Dallas coming out and eking out the 7-game series. So they end up advancing. That was yesterday. That was a fantastic matchup. But Rangers Hurricanes was great too. 4-3 finish. Hurricanes, obviously, great season last year, great regular season this year.
Yep.
And want to run it back this time around in the postseason.
How about David Pastrnak winning in overtime for the Bruins against Toronto? That went to OT. You imagine Game 7 scoreless after three periods and having to go to the overtime session to decide who was going to advance there?
Yeah, especially knowing that Boston could have closed this out as early as Game 5, as early as Game 6. Mm-hmm. Like, they were up big in this series.
3-1.
And they let Toronto come back into this series. And you know what? It was very competitive. I thought Toronto could even steal the series, come back from a 3-1 deficit in the series, yet they just didn't have enough in the tank. Credit to the Maple Leafs for staging that comeback, though.
Aren't you fascinated also to watch Game 2 of the T-Wolves Nuggets tonight in the NBA and see if Denver's able to even this thing at a game apiece, which almost feel like they have to after what happened in Game 1 with Anthony Edwards and the T-Wolves stealing Game 1?
Yeah, I remember back in 2007 when LeBron James was with that disaster of a Cleveland organization. I mean, just the worst kind of team around him. And LeBron was young at that time. I think it was his third year in the league. And you kind of felt like, wait a second, is this it? Like, is he actually going to will this sorry team, this sorry Cleveland team to the NBA Finals? And he did it. And he did it early in his career. Granted, they got whooped when they were in the Finals, and they had no chance whatsoever when they were actually in the NBA Finals. But you just kind of saw a young superstar mature and finally blossom into, you know, or early, not I said finally, but blossom into somebody early in their career. This could be what we see right now from Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yep.
They've put together what they did on Saturday, that game in itself, and what Anthony Edwards did to will that team to victory was remarkable. Today, they might lose, and it might be okay. I mean, they've already stole that first game. You almost want them to be exceptional at home back at, back in Minnesota and, try to continue this momentum because it's been great so far. They actually stack up nicely against Denver. I expect a much better performance tonight from Jokic and all the entire Denver cast members. And for Denver, it might be a reflection of how just wearing and taxing that Lakers series ended up being, even though that one, went to six. I mean, they still handled five. They still handled the Lakers, it took a lot of physical attributes for Denver to just stay afloat in that series. Now they're going to have to bring it right back in this one.
Meanwhile, you look at the rest of the series. We've got the Mavs Thunder tomorrow night. That's going to be game one of their Western Conference semifinal series. And before that, game one between the Celtics and the Cavs. How about Cleveland getting past Orlando in game seven to advance?
I thought Orlando had it, man. They were up double digits first half. Second quarter was an absolute collapse for Orlando. Cleveland, credit all, their team. Credit Max Strus, who finally came alive as a swing player in this one. Donovan Mitchell paced them nicely. And the best player in this series ended up willing his team to victory. And that's Donovan Mitchell with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think they get swept this round against the Celtics. If I'm the Celtics fan, I'm not worried about Cleveland whatsoever.
No, huh? Nothing?
Nothing right now. I think it should be four, maybe five at most.
All right. Well, again, we'll wait and see what happens. But that's going to be, you know, another good. I'm with you. Cleveland should not be able to take more than a game off of Boston. But I watched what happened with the Boston series that just ended a little while ago. And, I mean, could we honestly say that they should have struggled as much as they did in their first-round series? Probably not.
No, because they lost that second game at home at TD Garden. You're like, wait, what? Why did this happen? That kind of, you know, made me a little confused with Boston as well. So, sure, I mean, Cleveland could always get hot whether they're at home. They play terrible away from home. So they're going to have to win a game out at Rocket Mortgage Arena. So it has to be in Cleveland if they end up getting any of these.
All right. As again, we got continue here on the show. If you're just joining us, we've talked about a lot of good sports topics. We touched on the Derby from Saturday. We talked Canelo. We touched on UFC 301 and how both fighters that Adrian spoke to on Friday's show lost. So the sports talk streak is still alive and going stronger than ever. No wonder UFC never wants to book any of their fighters with us, especially the champs. They realize the implications that could happen if somebody joins us on the program. So we talked about that. By the way, El Paso Locomotive FC, still winless on the season. They are the only team in USL Championship that still has not been able to secure 3 points. Alberto, you are a huge soccer fan. That includes FC Juarez, who is going to be playing Club Americas coming up over at the Sun Bowl. You're also a big Locomotive FC fan. You tell me. Are you pushing the panic button on the 2024 season?
It's such a hard question because, you know, you definitely could do that. You know, winless as of right now, that's I'd hit the panic button if I were a diehard of this team. And I think that some of the losses that you've seen, you know, this team just hosted Tulsa FC. Tulsa hadn't won since their first game of the season. So they came in cold, and they came in here, and they beat Locomotives FC. So that's what I think is troubling. And from what I've seen here, just from their games so far, is what I think is that they lack an offensive presence. That's going to create like 10, 15 shots, just him alone, you know? So that's what I think they need, a guy who's going to shoot the ball 10, 15 times and then put it into the area 10, 15 times, make the goalkeeper work 10, 15 times, make him reject the ball. So, and I don't think they have that right now. I like what I've seen from Justin Dillon, and Justin Dillon's brought some great things offensively to the team. But the team gets to that last quadrant, gets to that last quarter, no one's shooting the ball. Everyone's working it up, no one's shooting. Or no one's attacking the goal. And so I think that's where things are kind of bad for Locomotives. And on the other side for Bravos, yeah, they finished off the season kind of cold. You know, they had their fate in their own hands, and they're unfortunately not able to get into the playoffs. They were two spots behind. But they announced a couple games where things are kind of going to get exciting here at the end. They're going to play a Club America here in the Sun Bowl Stadium. They announced that over the weekend, and they're going to play also Frankfurt from Germany. They're going to play them also in the summer. So they're getting ready for their League's Cup games coming up here in 2 months.
To put this into perspective, there are 24 teams in USL Championship. And right now, not only is El Paso Locomotive FC the only winless club, but they have 2 points on the season. They are 0-7-2. Okay, two meaning the two draws. So they have 2 points. They are 5 points back of the next team in 11th place, Colorado Springs, the Switchbacks. They have 7 points. And then they trail Oakland, who has 8, and Las Vegas has 9. The cutoff line, which is the top 8, would be FC Tulsa and Memphis 901 FC. They are both with 9 points. So they trail right now 7 points from the playoff line, but they also trail just the 11th place club by 5 points. In the Eastern Conference, Miami and North Carolina both have 7 points as well. So El Paso right now is last out of 24 clubs. They are not close, and you're right. How much do you think like a Lucho is the kind of player that's just missing right now from this club?
Yeah, I was talking to Alberto about this last week, and that was the first name that came up to me. I mean, an experienced scorer, a guy, a veteran presence, somebody who's going to generate that offense, even if it's not goals every single game. It's shot attempts. I like how he phrased it that way, you know, here Alberto did. I would say, man, you know, if you're a Locomotive diehard, the team that you hate the most is New Mexico United, and when you realize that team's got 16 points right now, and Locomotive has two. Yeah, it's a lot of separation right there. So I'm not only looking at what that last spot looks like, I'm looking at what the rivals look like right now. And for Locomotive FC fans, not a lot to get excited about right here.
No, and to put it in perspective, Lucha right now is with San Antonio FC. They are 3-2-4, so they're not nearly what we would see so far as Locomotive. But Lucho has only played in one match so far, and he has a goal. So kind of interesting. I don't know if it's due to injury or if he's just a sub and a super reserve at this age. I haven't really watched it yet, but he's got one goal and one appearance so far, Alberto.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's keeping him off the pitch. I'm sure he wants to get out there. And it'll be interesting to see what the team does coming here in the coming weeks. They don't have another home game until, I believe, the middle of May. I think it's the 17th. So they have, till the end of the homestand for the Chihuahuas. So, yeah, it's frustrating seeing this play out, especially when you have an off season where you bring in a lot of guys and you're expecting them to come in and jive at a particular rate and give you a better look than you had last year. When you don't have that, that's really frustrating, and you're going to start asking questions, and the fans are they're going to start asking for changes.
I know. They got to turn this thing around. They absolutely have to do it, because again, 2 points is just it's one thing if you're getting a lot of draws, but when you've lost 7 of 9, that's a tough start to the season. Even last year, when they started slow, got hot, and then, struggled again, I don't ever remember a stretch like this.
No, I don't. With this club, I know it's new. I know this is a fairly young club right now, but nothing like this losing streak right here that we've seen, especially to start off the year, especially with all the high hopes they had. I mean, you've heard from some of the personalities from this team, or coaches from this team, or representatives of this team, how bullish they've been on this group. So for them to be at this point, I think it's really disappointing for them too. I mean, they don't want to be at this point either. So they've got to figure out a way to turn this around. Yep. Plenty of season left. I guess that's the only silver lining at this point right here. They're going to be competing until October. So
that's
let's see what happens.
Another storyline we talked about earlier in the show, if you're just joining us, Jeremy Cox, who is the number one assistant for Joe Golding since he arrived in El Paso, has in fact taken a job at Oklahoma State under new head coach Steve Lutz. Now, if you're wondering, the two worked together in junior college ball many years ago when Coach Cox was the head coach. And you see what Steve Lutz has done with his coaching career. It's now given him the opportunity to take over the Oklahoma State program in the Big 12. And Jeremy Cox will be going with him, which means this is the first assistant coaching opening at this level that Joe Golding has had. There's been one other opening, and that was filled by Coach Spriggs. Brian Spriggs was given that job, I believe, this time about a year ago. But other than that, Adrian, we haven't really seen any other departures to date.
Right. I mean, the first his first season, he had Butch Pierre, who ended up leaving the team for another job. And yeah, you're right. Spriggs took that associate head coach job, or just an assistant head coaching role at UTEP. So curious to see what happens here in other universities, not here at UTEP, but in other universities. You'll often see whenever there's an assistant coaching change made, that it'll be kind of a package deal. A coach will come and a player will come. So if that's the case, UTEP's got one scholarship available right now. Devin Barnes is the guy that they got on Friday, the commitment they got from Tarleton State. I was told that the coaching staff is elated off this this commitment right here. Could be a real difference maker. And now it's just trying to find time for all these guys right here in the backcourt. You got Camper Jr., Otis Frazier, Trey Horton, David Terrell, all returning back to the fold. And you're combining that with Ahmad Bynum and Devin Barnes. So crowded backcourt right now. And we could see a lot of smaller lineups from UTEP here in the future.
What do you do now? Do you try to find like a stretch 3 or 4 and somebody that can give you a little more and solidify a little bit more in the post, or do you just go out and get the best possible player available regardless of position?
So if you say best player by position, I think that would tell you there's still a lot of guards out there. So I would say go big. I think a lot of listeners out there would say go big as well. I don't know how realistic that'll be at this point. This is a weird period right now. The G League players or the guys who are heading to the NBA Combine have all been invited. Those guys will start to withdraw during that week from the NBA draft. So then those guys get back into college basketball, more scholarships start getting filled, and then there's just a few, you know, players in the transfer portal. So for UTEP, it's about being patient but also being strategic with this final scholarship if it ends up being only one, and trying to get the, you know, a big man. I think a big man is necessary in the front court.
Do you feel like this roster as it's currently shaped is better, worse, or the same as it was a year ago?
It's still worse because they lost Tay Hardy, who's an all-conference player. So you gotta, if you're telling me that everybody else will level up, then it could end up being a comparable roster to this past year.
All right. We'll come back with plenty more. UTEP Track in the house. They'll be joining us in about 10 minutes right after Charlie One, who's standing by with this traffic update.
Stephen, the El Paso Metroplex, what we have is a crash on the east side, I-10 East at Loop 375. This is a wreck involving two 18-wheelers. It's on the right shoulder, but we have a little bit of slowing going on there, looky-loos going on there, I-10 East at Loop 375. Also, there are closures going on tonight. I-10 West, full closure at Southern Park. That's tonight at 7:30 p.m. Another closure that goes on tonight, Mesa, north and southbound at Restor Intersection, inside lane closures. Caution here. Leo's Restaurant, 7520 Rimcon, home of El Paso First of Papillas since 1946. Thank you, original family since 1946. And congratulations to all the grads. And this Sunday is something special. We celebrate that special mom at Leo's Restaurant, 7520 Rimcon, Charlie 1600, ESPN El Paso.
Be hosting the CUSA Conference Championships coming up here this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We've got a trio of UTEP track personalities, including Milton Mallard, who is a former UTEP track star himself. Now he's a coach. And we also have Jordani Woodley, who is with us as well, and someone who is now making her third appearance on the show. In fact, Marissa Simpson is making so many appearances, she'll be hosting the show next time she joins us. Welcome aboard, everybody. Good to see you, Coach. Thanks for stopping by, and welcome back, since I know for you it's probably been a great year plus since you've been back here returning to UTEP.
Thank you for the invitation. Gosh, it's been very rewarding. Great, great student athletes, great community, excited about this weekend.
You know what's interesting? When you were here in the early 90s running for UTEP, track meets at Kitt Field was just a normal occurrence. That was a regular thing, and those teams were still hanging banners like you're trying to do now with everything else. And it's good to see that this big meet is back here in El Paso at UTEP. It's the way it should be with the history of this program, you know?
Listen, after COVID, I think things are starting to form back in place, and I think we're getting things in order. I think Coach Mika and also our administration really push for us to host this conference championships. We needed it for our community, and also we needed it for our team.
Tell me this. When you first came to El Paso, and then afterwards, you went to LSU to finish up. Where did you arrive from at UTEP? Where did you?
Coming from Garland, Texas. Okay. It's a suburb right outside of Dallas. You know, so I'm a Texas guy. I was born and raised in Los Angeles, but I went to high school and junior high in Garland, Texas. And I'm a Texas guy, and I love El Paso, and I love this community.
How talented were those teams back then?
Gosh, I mean, like, you know, we achieved second in nationals as a team outdoors in 1994, and we received third indoors. So we had a really, really good, talented team. Small team, but really elite athletes.
And how about this roster? As you look here, and we've got a pair of these athletes with us here today, what can you tell us about this team as we get ready for the CUSA Championships?
I think our team are focused. I think this team is really, really getting poised for this competition. It's kind of similar to what our team looked like in the mid-90s. Mm-hmm. Really small team, but really elite athletes. And the ones that really can run and do and jump and throw far, I think we're going to do a fantastic job this weekend.
Before I bring Marissa and Jordani on board with us, what can you tell us about the two of them? Let's start with Marissa, since she's right next to you.
Well, obviously, luckily for me, I've been privileged to coach both of them this year. So I've been blessed to have great athletes, but more importantly, I have really good people and good students in the classroom, so it makes my job easier. I think they're one of the best athletes in the country, if not top 20 in their respective events. And they're just getting better and better each week, and we're ready to have some fun this weekend.
I love that. All right, Marissa, last time I saw you, you were getting ready for the NCAA indoors. That's when you were here last. And now here you are getting ready for the CUSA Outdoor Championship. Catch me up on what's happened since we last talked to you a few months ago.
Nothing much has happened. Still practicing, still competing, and just showing up every time, you know, same thing.
How has the outdoor meet treated you so far compared to what you were achieving on the indoor side?
It's been a lot better, honestly. Indoor was a bit challenging. Outdoor, it is still challenging, but I feel like I'm more focused and I'm ready.
What was the biggest challenge for indoor for you, would you say?
Losing my dad.
I'm sorry to hear that. I mean, emotionally, so timing was it more than anything else? It wasn't the actual elements indoors. It was just everything going on in your life at the time.
Yeah.
All right. Have you been dedicating your outdoor season to his memory? And has that kind of helped to inspire and motivate you as well?
That has helped me a lot, and I have been dedicating it. In fact, every single time I step out on a track, I do it for my dad, and I will win for him.
I'll say this. I lost my dad 20 years ago to the day last week. And when it was the 20th anniversary, it was tough for us because it seems like it was just yesterday he was here. And it's one of those things where when you lose a parent, you never forget. That memory stays with you forever. But you also have to realize just, you know, how they would want you to keep doing exactly what you're doing and be the first one to tell you, go out there and win a championship, then go out and win a gold medal in the Olympics and just do everything you possibly can. So I'm sure for you, you probably have that reminder all the time.
Yes, I do. I see it in Coach Mallard all the time because he reminds me of my dad. Most of the stuff that he says, the way that his energy, he reminds me a lot of my dad. So I see it every day, you know. And I have stuff that I keep of my dad. Like I don't have a lot of things, but I have his watch and I take it with me to every practice, every competition. It's always in my spike bag and it's always ticking, going off. So everything reminds me. I see my dad in everything that I do, in my very self, in my activities. I see him. Yeah. Everything reminds me of him.
Not to mention the fact that when you start to not just have that reminder, but that motivation, it'll give you that extra lift that you possibly need. And you know what? Since you've been at UTEP, how many track meets have you actually run here in El Paso?
None.
Exactly. This is the first. About that. Think about how big this weekend is for you and the significance and the importance of the CUSA Championships, knowing it's in your backyard. First time in your UTEP career, you get an opportunity to have a meet like this here in El Paso at Kidd Field.
It is amazing. And honestly, I haven't been thinking about it much because it's like a couple days away. So when I get there, I'm going to deal with it.
And as far as home track advantage, I'm going to ask you first as an athlete, and I'm also, you know, going to get a chance to talk to your teammate as well as your coach. How big is that, knowing that you practice out at Kidd all the time, you know the track better than anybody? So what kind of an advantage is it to have this surface for the championships?
I think it is a big advantage to be here. This is where we practice. This is where we show up. We do everything. And it makes me comfortable in knowing that this is where I practice and I'm competing here, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's a big advantage.
And if we can get a nice crowd this weekend, especially those just to help give you a little extra rooting section, how big would that be to have some fans out there as well rooting you on?
That would be super great. Yeah, so get a lot of people.
Do we normally have good attendance at CUSA track meets?
Yes. Yeah, we do.
Okay. So that way, if we get a good crowd of El Pasoans, it could absolutely make a big difference for you.
Yeah, it will. For all of us.
Awesome. All right. Great to see you, Marissa. Thanks for dropping in today.
No problem.
We'll come back, and we're going to talk to Giordani in a moment. But first, let's say hello to Adrian. He's standing by with this bottom of the hour SportsCenter update. And appreciate Marissa Simpson, along with Coach Milton Mallard. You just heard Marissa talk about you as a father figure. What does that make you feel like, especially knowing everything she's had a chance to go through this semester?
I feel good. I mean, you know, young people need older people to be in their lives in a positive role model. And I try to be a model for all the student athletes, and especially the girls. I'm like, I'm a father of three daughters. Mm-hmm. So she's like an extension of my family, and she's one of my daughters. So I feel good. I just want to make sure that I can be able to be that person for her if she needs it.
I love it. Now, Giordani Woodley's here with us as well. What can you tell us about Giordani?
Gosh, I mean, like this young man has a big upside. We just got to continue to keep working. Continue to keep getting better each day. And if he does that, I think the sky is the limit for this young man. So I'm excited about watching what goes on this weekend.
I think what I'm excited about looking at his career so far heading into this season is second team all CUSA his freshman year indoor for hurdles in the 4x400. Then last season, second team outdoor in the 4x400 as well as the 100-meter hurdles for the third team. So it's like we've seen the progression mm-hmm. every year. Have you seen Giordani take that next step here his junior season?
I think he's a couple of steps from making an Olympic team
wow.
for his country. And I think both of these student athletes are. I don't want to put pressure on them, right, as a coach and a teacher, but I just want them to understand that they have that potential to be Olympians.
Well, first off, no pressure, Giordani, right? that's for yes, sure. Yes. Hey, listen, it's great to see you. Thanks for coming in here as well. And like Marissa, you came from Jamaica,
right.
And you've now developed over your 3 years in El Paso.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about how you've been able to grow on and off the track since you first arrived here.
Coming here, it was a big difference, you know, coming from Jamaica. Everything was different, and I had my teammates that were also Jamaican, so it wasn't a big, difference to, you know, having, you know, people around me. But, coming here, I was, always thinking about coming here to, you know, get better and, so it wasn't a big deal coming here and growing, I feel like, because I had, you know, coaches who are Jamaicans, my teammates also are Jamaican. So, over the years, it's been pretty good so far.
There is a very large Jamaican presence on this UTEP track and field team. And I'm right. sure for you, when you're that far from home and you come all the way to El Paso, Texas, and you have the opportunity to be around people that might not be from your same town,
yeah.
but your same country, that's got to be such a big factor when you're 18, 19 years old.
Right, yeah, definitely. They make me feel, at home, knowing I have people to talk to, who can relate to me. So, it's been good having them around. Yeah.
How about this season? What's it been like for you both outdoor and indoor, and how you've been able to try to make that big jump as a junior?
It's been good. I had some ups and downs, dealing with, injuries every now and then. But, I have my coach, he's a really good coach. And, I have Marissa. She's my training partner. So, we just, look out for each other and, try to do our best every single time.
Almost like a family when you really talk about
right,
it.
Most definitely, yes.
That's terrific. Are you got to be then excited about the CUSA championships, realizing what this can do for you with not just winning, but eventually, getting a chance to propel you into the NCAA regionals and go from there.
Right, most definitely. Looking forward for the weekend. Getting ready, staying focused, keep my eyes on the prize, not to overthink it, but just to go in there and know, I have to do what I have to do. And then, following, we have regionals and then, the NCAA. So
yeah.
I'm just looking forward step by step, first and foremost this weekend. So, yeah.
Are you healthy? I guess that's the first question. As you said,
yes.
You've been battling injuries. Is this the best you felt all season?
I felt good. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I'm good. There's no nagging injuries right now, so I'm just looking forward for the weekend, you know, to put on a show. So yeah.
Now, Jordana, you just heard me ask Marissa about running here in El Paso at Kidd Field, and
right.
since this is going to be your first meet, since you first arrived in El Paso as well, I've never had one until now.
Yeah.
What is that going to be like for you, knowing you finally get the opportunity to run in your backyard?
Again, it's a great feeling. You know, we train here every single day, so you know we know the ins and outs of this track. So just looking, you know, to go out there and just, you know, to compete. You know, be the best we can be. So it's a really great feeling. And also having, you know, the UTEP, the community coming to watch, it's a really great feeling.
How much talent is on this team top to bottom?
A lot. We have talent on this team, you know, and you'll see it this weekend. I believe you'll see it this weekend.
I think so too.
Yes.
We're excited about that. We've got a really good feeling about this particular meet and what the CUSA Championships is going to be like. And Coach, I'll tell you this much: with the history this program has had, and all it takes is just going to see all those national championships that are hanging all over the place, because nobody has the kind of titles in this league that UTEP has. From the 60s all the way through now, nobody's been able to win the national championships. And knowing that you have such an advantage hosting the CUSA championships this year, I almost feel like it belongs in El Paso. The championships belong at UTEP. What do you think?
We have an historic program.
Absolutely.
Right? We have, you know, over 20 national championships, more than any other university in this state. If I had my druthers, I would love to host conference every year, indoor and outdoor. So mm-hmm. Community, let's fight for it. Let's also build indoor facility as well so we can host indoor and outdoors. But this is a great advantage for our community, also our student athletes, our staff, and also all of the people at UTEP to be able to watch and witness great athletes, great student athletes perform next week.
Man, that's the one thing we need. We need an indoor track. You know what would be great is, even if they don't have room on campus, go put it in the Asarco area that UTEP bought that land at and go build that over there, and now you've got yourself a state-of-the-art indoor track to go along with the outdoor track.
There we go. We starting it right now. Right?
I like that. Adrian, when we're talking about that, it's, you know, you don't think about it, but there is not an indoor track facility here at UTEP.
Yeah, you talk about all the high-level players that you're able to recruit year in and year out to the track. Not even just the indoor-outdoor track and field programs, the cross-country programs as well. Yeah. You talk about all the great talent you're able to bring in. They deserve one, for sure.
How many schools in Conference USA actually have an indoor track set up on their campus? CUSA schools.
Maybe a couple. Liberty. I think maybe.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Liberty has everything.
Everything.
So that would,
yes, a Power 5 school, more or less. But
sure.
I think maybe Liberty and maybe one other. Yeah, only two schools.
Okay. So do you know the second one, Marissa, besides Liberty? Just know there's one other school.
There is?
And as you said, there's two, right? Or is it just Liberty, as far as you know?
As I know, it's just Liberty.
Okay. All right. So that would be nice to see if we could eventually get that done. But in the meantime, we're focusing on outdoor.
Yes.
If an El Pasoan has never been to any kind of track meet at this level, what's the best way to describe, Coach, what they would expect to see this weekend?
If you want to watch an Olympic-caliber competition with Olympic-caliber athletes, this is the place to come and watch this weekend. We will have athletes throwing far in the field. We will have athletes jumping far in the field as well, you know, and sprinting well on the track, and hurdling well. So if you want to watch Olympic-caliber athletes, please come out on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and watch. And it'd be a great showing.
You know, I said Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but really this starts on Thursday, Coach. You're right about that. So it's 4 days here in El Paso.
Yes, sir.
All right. Terrific job. Great to see you. Come back and see us again.
Thank you.
All right. Marissa, always a pleasure. You can host the program whenever you want because you've been here so often. Jordani, how do you think? You think she did all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a seasoned pro.
She's good.
You did good too.
Oh yeah, Jordani. I did pretty well.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. You got to come back and see us again.
For,
okay,
for sure. For
all right,
for sure.
Best of luck this week, guys, and let's get a chance to talk to you again when you're heading to the NCAAs. What do you say?
Okay.
Awesome. All right, UTEP track with us here, 42 past the hour as we continue. Come back with more in a moment. 600 ESPN El Paso. All right. By the way, you can hear this. This is the classic Van Halen song. give it a little. It's been taking a little to get it going, but you'll hear it. It'll eventually get started. It's one of the earlier songs, and it's got a little bit of everything. A little Eddie, guitar solo, little David Lee Roth in the beginning of the song. But yes, good to have you back on the program as we continue here. 2 hours down, one to go. In fact, along with Adrian Broaddus, Alberto Urueta, Steve Kaplowitz here with you as well. And excited about taking you up till 7 o'clock. Knicks are up right now, 24-17, approaching the end of the first quarter. Adrian believes we're talking sweep here. Doesn't think that Indiana will be ready for the Knicks. By the way, if you're the Knicks, that would be the best possible situation. And then, you know, if Boston makes quick work, which they might of Cleveland, we could then get what we all think we're going to get is a Knicks-Celtics collision course in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, I was excited about the East first-round playoff series. Not that excited about this semifinal round, but the East Finals will be excellent. It's setting up to be New York-Boston, barring any sort of unforeseen major upsets. This is, in my opinion, what's going to happen. I love the only thing I like about Pacers-Knicks is the fact that it really throws me back to the 90s, Steve, and reminds me of like Reggie Miller with the Pacers and stuff like that. I think of the Winning Time documentary, the 30 for 30 and all of that, and Patrick Ewing, all those great Knicks teams and those great wars and rivalries that you had. That's the only thing that really makes me a little excited about this one.
You know what else I'm kind of confused about? How far of a delay is it between our cable box and the actual live game? The game says right now there's 11 seconds left and it's 27-22 Knicks. Here it's 28 seconds left. Are we a good 15 to 20 seconds behind the live action on cable?
Okay, let me check. We'll do a third one and bring in the streaming mix into this and see where we're at there. But I do think the GameCast goes extremely fast on ESPN. Mm. Typically when I'm on it, I can never, you know, actually watch a game. But yeah, my stream, YouTube TV stream right now, says 17 seconds. So we're a possession behind on streaming. Cable is the second, and then GameCast is number one, I guess.
Isn't that crazy? Didn't it used to be where GameCast and cable was exactly the same?
Yes, it usually... Well, it also very. It feels like it varies sport to sport, because mm-hmm. it feels like football, whenever you're watching the NFL, it's right on par. And in fact, the NFL is usually ahead of GameCast. Like, GameCast has to catch up. But for this, for whatever reason, NBA GameCast on ESPN is always the fastest one.
It's crazy. So... Anyway, Knicks are up 27-24 after one. Keep an eye on that one, folks. And then the fun one will be the second game of the series, because we want to see if Denver can then even it at a game apiece with Minnesota. You cannot – listen, if you're the Nuggets, you cannot fall behind 2-0 going back to Minnesota. Because at that point, what's best-case situation? You split and you're home down 3-1 for Game 5? That's the last thing you want to deal with right now if you're Denver.
Yeah, if I'm Denver, I'm actually horrified of the Timberwolves, period. Like, this is the second-round matchup I did not want. This mm-hmm. is, like, the Western Conference Finals matchup I wanted. Like, I could still see the Nuggets winning this in a 7-game series, 6-game series, whatever it might be. But I would be... terrified if I were a Nuggets fan right now of Anthony Edwards and the streak that he's on. Also, the physical toll this is taking, because not only are you going to have to get through this round, but then you're going to have to turn around and get ready for an Oklahoma City or a Dallas Western Conference yep. Finals, and then the NBA Finals. That's a taxing and grueling schedule there for whoever comes out of this series.
You're right. You're absolutely 100% right. So, yeah, I would be careful. If you're the Denver Nuggets in this particular series, you're right. Minnesota is right now probably the one team in the NBA playoffs you do not want to meet at this point. You just don't.
Yeah, they're playing great. They've got their lineups fixed. The one interesting thing, we mentioned him earlier, but Karl-Anthony Towns, he didn't play in crunch time of that the game one matchup between the Timberwolves and the Nuggets. So they actually had Naz Reid out there for an extended period. I love him off the bench. He's one of the top six men that you're going to see in the NBA. Jaden McDaniels, too. He defends at a high level. When you watch Minnesota, sometimes you definitely need to check out the roster or just remind yourself, wait, he's actually playing in this game, or who's that guy over there? But that's okay, because Anthony Edwards is all the star power that you need for Minnesota right here. He's the future of Team USA basketball, and he's showing it. 43 points on the road in a Game 1 situation.
Huge.
Thought it was amazing.
Absolutely amazing. All right, meanwhile, as we continue here on the show, couple things. Number one, Chihuahua's back at home tomorrow. It's that rare double homestand where they get two in a row, back-to-back. So we just wrapped up with the first, and now we get to Albuquerque to come back starting tomorrow. In fact, we got a day game on Wednesday, a little nooner on Wednesday at the ballpark. You could play hooky from work and head out to Southwest University Park on Wednesday.
I feel like there's a group of people here in El Paso, Steve. It's like a secret. Like, mm-hmm. I just want to know when, you know, they get to the job interview. It's like, hey, look, you got X amount of days off, you have this thing, and then for every Chihuahua's day game, we don't work. We don't work on these days.
Joe Rod.
Yes. There's a select group of people and employers out there that don't require their employees, or they're cool with their employees going out and playing some hooky, and I love it. I feel like it's this deal that the Chihuahuas has with some of these businesses or places across El Paso.
I'm with you.
To let them have this happen.
Man, I am with you on that one. And it's going to be great. So Chihuahuas are back home this week as well. We'll keep our coverage. If you missed the first part of the show, we talked about a brand new contest just in time for Mother's Day that we have going on here involving our 600 ESPN El Paso app. It is free to download. You can listen to the radio station. One of the beauties of this app is you can also chat with us in real time during the program, which is exactly what we want you to do to enter our special Mother's Day contest. Now, we've been giving away tickets on the air before, and that's never going to stop. But this time around, we're doing it a little different. We have a suite on Mother's Day. That's right. We have a suite. And our boss has given us the go-ahead, the green light, to give away 4 tickets to that suite that we will be hosting ourselves. Adrian's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Our families are going to be there. The key is we need to know from you why the mom in your life. It could be your mom. It could be your wife. It could be a friend's mom or a friend's wife deserves to go and spend a Mother's Day at the ballpark with us in the suite at the Chihuahuas game against the Isotopes. That's all we want. We want you to send it to us via the 600 ESPN El Paso app. If you haven't downloaded it, do so. It's free to download. And at the end of the week, Adrian, we're going to review all of the entries and pick a winner.
Yeah, we'll pick a random winner, and the good thing is we've already got entries. Michael is listening to us out in San Eli, gave us a great description as to why he believes his mom should deserve these tickets for Mother's Day weekend out at Southwest University Park and watch some Chihuahuas baseball. So we want to hear from everybody else out there, the mother in your life. Why should they get this opportunity to be with us out at the suite, get some great food, watch a great game, and celebrate Mother's Day in style at the ballpark?
That's right. It's going to be catered. And guess who orders the food for the catered? Yours truly. So, yes, I will be doing that since I will be out there. Adrian's going to be there as well. And we're going to be hosting you and some special guests. And you're going to love this suite. If you've never been up there, it is a terrific spot. We were up there earlier this season in the outdoor suite. This will be the indoor one, but it's a great place to be. And Adrian just can't wait for Mother's Day and to give that special someone an opportunity to enjoy treat them to a Chihuahuas game.
Imagine that mother in your life who just wants to get out to the ballpark, and you just make her day extra special because you're getting out to a suite and getting some food out there. And this is all, you know, taken care of by us. So, yeah. Yeah, come out and join us. We want more entries out on the app. We've already had some good ones, so want to continue to get those. 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app, wherever you get your apps.
That's right. So we've talked about the following subjects here in the first 2 hours of the show. We did UTEP track last hour with members of the UTEP track team. They're hosting the big CUSA championship meet coming up Thursday through Sunday out at Kidd Field. We've also talked boxing with Canelo. We talked UFC 301. We've talked NBA playoffs. We touched also on the Chihuahuas with baseball. We talked about El Paso Locomotive FC. We've talked about the Tom Brady roast. The big story locally, however, the fact that UTEP basketball lost one of their big assistant coaches is Jeremy Cox, taking the job at Oklahoma State. Heard rumors about this a few weeks ago. Wasn't sure if it was going to come to fruition or not because Steve Lutz is somebody that actually coached under Jeremy Cox when Coach Cox was in junior college. The two of them were together. Now they'll reunite at Oklahoma State. Congratulations to Coach Cox. I'll say this. I thought, you know what? He's been a very loyal member of the UTEP coaching staff since he arrived. Somebody that was always friendly to the fans, with thank them for coming, and somebody that was always willing to talk hoops with you whenever we saw him at practice.
Yeah, I'm sure this is a tough one for Coach Cox to leave El Paso. I mean, every time I would talk to him, it was always just how much he loved the city. How much, you know, he's been a coach and a lifer in this sport forever. I mean, a lifer. You know, his son, Austin, grew up as he was a coach and was around basketball his whole life. Now that's the reason why his son is involved as well, and he's currently a member, you know, the director of basketball operations at UTEP. But just to show you how much of a lifer he is, he's been all around. He's been across the high major, the low major, junior college, like you mentioned, even high school, has great relationships at the junior college level, and I'm sure that's what was a big selling point for Steve Lutz. Not only can he help recruit some of those top-level junior college basketball players, but he could also implement defensive schemes, defensive strategies that he ended up doing here at UTEP over the past couple years.
I'm so interested to see who UTEP decides to fill his shoes with. Eric, the number four Nier, got in about an hour ago on Twitter and X and said, bring Lamont Smith back to UTEP. Look, Lamont was with Rodney Terry in year one and then had to take the next 5 years off of basketball, which he's done, and is still in Southern California, runs a very successful camp and youth program there as he's developed that out in San Diego. I know if he's given an opportunity, would probably love to get back into the college game. Loved his time in El Paso at UTEP. I'm sure that Lamont Smith, like a bunch of others, will be people that Joe Golding takes a good hard look at in terms of trying to figure out who's going to replace Jeremy Cox here with the Miners.
Yeah, this is a big you know, hire right here. You don't know, number one, when the next open bench position will be there for an assistant job at UTEP. In the past, when Butch Pierre left, they just promoted from within. Brian Spriggs ended up being a bench coach for UTEP.
And, right.
Look, he was instrumental in bringing guys like Zid Powell to this program and used his own recruiting ties to do that kind of stuff. And he's a right-hand man for Joe Golding. So you feel like with Boykins, with Spriggs, those are the two guys who are there right now. You wonder if they could, you know, get anybody from in their program to be a bench coach as well, although they do not have the experience that the others have. And then you'd also even wonder, Steve, does he go back to the Abilene Christian pool? Does he go back to other coaches that he's had in the past, or, you know, even ties that he's had within the past? The only knock against Lamont Smith, I mean, look, he's going to bring the players. We all know that if he ends up, you know, being an assistant coach anywhere. But he doesn't have the ties to Joe Golding like these other coaches do.
And he's been out of college basketball for 4 or 5 years. That's
right.
Those are the two knocks against Lamont. You're 100% right. Does not have the Lamont Smith relationship and has been out of college coaching. Can he recruit? Yes. Has he stayed into the college game despite being out? Yes. Can he coach? We know he can coach. He was that guy for in year one for Rodney Terry. He was that coach slash recruiter. He was basically the Jeremy Cox role for the Miners in that first year.
That's right. I mean, you think about Lamont Smith and who he brought, just the names. No, he didn't bring Bryson Williams, but he did bring eventual pro basketball players like Sule Boom, like Anthony Tark to UTEP. You even talk about a guy like Titus Verhoeven, who he helped recruit to the program. And so many of those guys who came in with that first year. Talk about that first year with Rodney Terry and how loaded they were with all the guys sitting out and all, you know, those players. Those were a lot of Lamont's guys. and so he could definitely recruit. I think the package deal idea for UTEP, maybe they bring a coach who also brings a player. I would go that route, but we'll see what end up, you know, what route they end up going.
I'm interested. I'm really interested because now it's a major, some major spot to fill. I mean, this is not just trying to fill a coaching role, but you need a, you basically need an assistant who can A, be your bench coach, and B, and also be a recruiter. Because look, I look at guys like Brian Spriggs. I look at guys also, you know, like Earl Boykins. I don't necessarily know if either of them are ready for like to be the X's and O's guy that Jeremy Cox was. Now, in defense to these two, they never had the opportunity because that was just Jeremy's role. He was that bench coach, that guy. For all I know, maybe Earl Boykins could draw up plays, and same thing with Brian Spriggs. But we know Spriggs can recruit. We know Boykins is somebody that has been that guy that brings in players, has the NBA experience. It is going to be really interesting to see who gets that spot.
Brett Tanner, head coach at Abilene Christian. There's no way he'd want to go with his old coach and Joe Golding?
Why would you leave a head coaching job to be a top assistant? That's the only thing I'll say right now is he's got a head coaching job.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't, if I was Brett Tanner, I wouldn't leave it. You know what? They're hard to get. And if you step down to Abilene Christian after you were the guy that replaced Joe Golding, would you even get another opportunity to be a head coach again?
Yeah, it's tough, right? Because you take the risk. There are coaches who obviously had that success, or they go to the assistant job a la Rodney Terry and then become a head coach. But that's an anomaly. It feels like a one in a million chance right there. I just have to throw out the Brent Tanner name because of the relationship.
Sure.
And knowing that the Wildcats, I mean, they were 16-18 last year. It's a tough place to win at.
No, it is. It is. He has not been able to turn the corner yet. But then again, you know, it took Joe Golding how many years for him to turn things
exactly.
around,
exactly. It's a building process. Yep. I know that they've got better facilities now, but still a tough place to win at.
You're 100% correct. 19 pass. Let's go to Charlie for traffic, and then we'll come back and spend the next 40 minutes with you. You want in? 505-600-9600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X as we continue. Back, everybody, as we continue here on Sports Talk. 24 past. Little squeeze box from The Who, how fitting that song is as we keep things moving here on the program. All right. Knicks are down two with 5 minutes left to go in the first half. Struggling here with Indiana. 40-38 the score. Give the Pacers credit. Coming into the Garden, game one, where this arena is all jacked up, ready to go. And right now, you know, Indiana's giving them a game.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Benedict Mathurin from Indiana. He could be that wild card X factor if you want to look for one in this series. Remember the last series, you're really looking at Josh Hart being the guy. In this one, it's a slow start from Jalen Brunson. It's a slow start from the scoring brass of the Knicks. So I'm not worried, you know, at the score whatsoever. You just can't let, you know, one of these types of games. The one thing I'm a little concerned about with the Knicks, not in this series, but moving forward, is their perimeter game. They've got to have DiVincenzo on like he was in that game six. He has 0 points so far. Brunson's got 16 right now, but kind of struggling from beyond the arc. They need him to score, you know, more from the perimeter. So that's one of those things. Then OG Anunoby, he's not necessarily the go-to scorer, but they need him to make point, you know, make buckets. So that I think that gets corrected here at halftime. I just want to give a lot of credit to Benedict Mathurin and what he provides for this Indiana Pacers team. One of the newer guys out of Arizona, so I like him.
Yep. Again, keep an eye on that. And then we got the second game. Can't wait for that either. What a great doubleheader it really is with Denver trying to even their series at a game apiece against you know, a T-Wolves team that would love nothing more than to steal both games and go back in a great situation home to Minnesota. All right. 505-6009, our telephone number if you want to get in, 505-6009, as we continue here on the program. Also, you know, we've talked a little bit about Wemby winning the unanimous Rookie of the Year Award. If you want to get in on that, we could talk about that as well, or any other topic that you have for us on the show today, including, as we started off, the Tom Brady roast. Which, let's be honest, that is one of the highlights of what was a very busy sports weekend. Adrian, I want to watch that tonight. I think I'll watch the replay. I'm assuming is it on again, or was it only a live event that they're not replaying?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen it on demand, so I just simply don't know. I'll check.
I'm going to look too on the Netflix app, because I knew it aired live. I just wasn't sure if they had that. I would assume as many headlines as it had, you would think they'd want to keep that in rotation, wouldn't you?
I think so, too.
Yeah,
I
here mean, it is.
Yeah,
recently
I
added.
I see it.
Oh, my God. 3 hours and 4 minutes long this roast is.
That's a long one, man. That's long. I feel like, yeah, you're definitely going to have to watch it in parts. It'd be tough to watch it a full sitting right there.
Very difficult.
Unless you're a diehard Brady fan. There's a lot of people who love Brady and who will watch this no matter what. They don't care what the time is. They love all the cast of characters like Edelman, Belichick, all those guys. Rob Gronkowski making appearances.
Yeah, that would be fun. I mean, and you know what? Here's the funny thing, okay? This is the truth. Like, my wife couldn't care less about any of this. She didn't watch football. She doesn't get the jokes. She doesn't know any really much about Brady besides just pop culture. So this is one of those things that I'll probably have to watch myself and figure, okay, let me get a good laugh and see it. Because, yeah, I know for a fact she'll have less than zero interest in the roast of Tom Brady. So this is one of those things where, I mean, yeah, I guess if you have a family, they both watch football and they both love, they follow Brady, it's great. If not, you're like me, I'll be seeing this one solo. Material, a little too mature for my 11-year-old, so I'll be watching this one by myself.
Yeah, me too. My wife has probably zero interest in watching Tom Brady whatsoever. If it was 80 for Brady, I think my wife would be interested in it a little bit more, knowing that that was more about the fans mm-hmm. and less about Tom Brady.
That's true. Have you watched 80 for Brady?
I have not.
I haven't either.
No, for me, I'm not like soured on the Pats. I just need a little bit more of a break. Like just two, 3 years. It's still not enough for me. I need a little bit longer to be removed from the Pats and their run.
As the Jets fan, I hope they're irrelevant for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see.
You need a much longer gap, Steve.
I do.
And it's more almost, success.
But you know what's weird? Okay. I started thinking about this, right? Can you imagine if we said the same thing about the Cowboys? Let's just say we're doing this show from either Philadelphia, New York, or Washington. And in 1996, or like 98 or 99, we're doing the program. And let's just say the Cowboys are in the news. And like, you know what? Yeah, we need to be a little more removed from this success. They need, they've been good for too many years. They had that, the triplets and what they did with their Super Bowl winning domination. Could you imagine that like 28 years later, we're still talking about Dallas not having the opportunity to be playing for all the marbles? Like what a drought that is. Cause again, and Cowboy fans, I'm not bringing this up to annoy you or anger you, but the harsh reality of the situation is Adrian, the last time they won a Super Bowl, you weren't even born.
Exactly. And I would say to that point, to those fans, maybe it's not a bad thing. Maybe it's one of those things like, wow, Cowboys have found a way to be this relevant despite being irrelevant in the postseason mm-hmm. all this time. And they've still found a way to have that kind of relevance. It's one of those things that some fans will just roll their eyes and think, well, why? I mean, why can't the Cowboys have any success in the postseason and have this kind of excitement actually lead to something and hype lead to something that you can be proud of instead of just raising banners for playoff appearances and stuff like that?
Yeah, that's really true. But when you think about what they've been able to do, and you're right, a lot of it's incredible to see how popular they are given their lack of championships over such a long period of time. I mean, but then again, that's why when people call them America's team, you understand why. They're still the most polarizing topic in football, have been forever, even without all these championships.
Yeah, and so now post-Brady, post-Belichick, I mean, this is the first year with post-Belichick. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see if the Patriots can carry any sort of relevance across the league. I mean, they kind of fell off a cliff without Brady as far as just excitement, hype, being on national television. So now without Belichick as well, I mean, they might be forgotten.
But you know what? I like Jared Mayo.
Me too.
I do. I think he's the kind of coach. Listen, they're never going to have another run like this. All right? Just understand. What happened to New England, that happens to a franchise once in 100 years. I mean, that just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen in sports. All right? But it did. It was the perfect mix, the perfect combination, and the perfect legacy. But that's not normal. Now... What's normal? Maybe be lucky if the Patriots could try to get themselves into the playoffs as a wild card over the next few years.
Yeah, that's right. I feel like the cycles that we see across the NFL, when a team from when a team hits the Super Bowl or reaches the pinnacle to getting back to that spot, I mean, that's a huge gap in itself right there. You don't take the windows for granted. Like the Chiefs right now, they shouldn't take Patrick Mahomes or Andy Reid for granted right here. Not saying it's necessarily the dynasty that a lot of people are painting just yet, but it could turn into that, and it could maybe even turn into a Patriots-like run.
Possible.
I just don't know. I mean, to do it over two decades the way the Patriots did, adapt and be as versatile as they did, and hold a lot of relevance, man, it's going to be hard to do that again. And the fact that Cowboys are relevant despite no postseason success, pretty crazy.
Yeah, but just think about the start Mahomes is having. That's the one thing you'll say is that Brady did over two decades. Look at what Mahomes has done over the last 5-6 years.
Man, just historic.
It is.
Historic stuff.
33 pass. We're a little overdue. Let's take the Sports Center break. We'll come back with more in a moment. 600 ESPN El Paso. Work to do in the second half. They really do. And I'll tell you what, we'll see if they're going to be able to respond down six at the break. 55-49. All of our guests on the phone lines always appear via the Longhorn Distributing Hotline. For farms, businesses, or detail, do-it-yourselfers, check out Longhorn Distributing at 5516 East Paisano with parking in the back. They have it all. They sure do. And say hi to our friend Lauren Hodges and the team at Longhorn Distributing for that as we continue on the program. 505-6009, our telephone number to get into the show. 505-6009, get you right on in and through to Sports Talk. Also, Alberto, UTEP softball, you've been involved in this all season. They're heading to Las Cruces this weekend. While the UTEP track and field program hosts the CUSA championships, NMSU will be hosting the CUSA Softball Championships this weekend.
Yeah, UTEP takes on La Tech Wednesday at 2:30 p.m. Mountain Time, and I think that Miner fans have to take advantage of the fact that the tournament is right here in Las Cruces, only 45 minutes away. They can go up there and make a little noise and hopefully create an environment that's positive for the Miners, conductive for a good offensive outing for the Miners, which is key for them, as we know that that's kind of what these games ride on for these girls. So I'm excited. I'm thinking about making my way up there on Wednesday.
You, by the way, have been, you know, with this team all season long. I know down the stretch they scuffled a little bit. They won the final game this past weekend, but lost the first two in their final road series. You tell me, what's been, in your mind, the difference with UTEP's hot start non-conference and why they struggled a bit in conference play?
Yeah, that's kind of a difficult one. I think that they definitely played well in conference play. These teams are formidable opponents, and I think that on top of that, another thing to add is they only see the non-conference teams. You don't see them three or four times. In comparison, you go out there and you play a team three times. That's kind of hard to beat a team three times. That's not an easy thing to do. And so I think that plays into effect. And I think that the bats kind of slowed down there. So the coach started looking towards the hot hand, started riding with whoever was hot, not historically who had been playing. And I think that this team goes as far as its pitching takes it. I think that that's what we've seen all year. And so that's what I'm expecting here in the conference tournament.
All right. Well, all I could tell you is I'm hoping for a big tournament. I'm hoping the Miners just save the best for last. I guess that's the best way to put it. I really am.
Yeah, I think that they've been playing some good ball here late, and I think that it'll more than likely ride on the arms like it has all year. Their offense has been clicking all year, like Asia Richard, Kenna Collette, Hallie Hogan. They've all been ringing it in the batter's box. It's just that sometimes they'll get into predicaments on the other side of the ball when they start walking individuals, and that's when things get tricky for them. So I think that if they can minimize the walks, they can just play the small ball on offense, I think that they can compete. And I think they have kind of they played Liberty, and then they played Western Kentucky just last weekend. So I think that they've played some of the harder teams towards the end here. You kind of know how things go, and it's a double elimination tournament. You play your heart out in those first two games.
Yeah, we'll have head coach TJ Hubbard joining us on the program tomorrow to give us his preview and what to expect when it comes down to UTEP and La Tech and the start of their CUSA tournament action from Las Cruces. Hey, 21 in front of the hour. When we come back, final countdown, we'll put a wrap on this one next. So stay with us. Sports Talk continues. 600 ESPN El Paso.